Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to our deep diving podcast. We go through every episode of Grey's Anatomy. We are just trucking along, and currently we are in season 18, episodes 16, 17, and 18, which is wild. If this is your first time listening, we recommend making sure you've watched Grey's Anatomy in its entirety beforehand, because we are a spoiler podcast, and we don't want to ruin the show for you. So try to watch season 19 if you can before you start listening to this episode.
Yeah. And if you want to support us, you can do so by going to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can be an intern, resident, or attending. That's $2, $5, or $10 a month. And if you donate to the podcast, you get extra bonus things other than this episode that you're listening to currently. So you get bonus episodes, which are, I mean, if you're listening to this, a bonus episode might currently be out.
We're recording one today.
Yeah. So we're recording about Maggie's last episode. So if you're really interested in our thoughts about that, you have to be a $5 patron. You also get episodes a day early. You get to be a part of the Facebook group and do a Zoom hangout with us. And you also get post-op, which tonight is a fun one. So for 10 minutes or so after the episode, after we call Time of Death, if you're a $10 patron, you get post-op. And tonight we're talking about Richard getting high, drinking Catherine's green cannabis drink. So if you want to hear our thoughts about that, you got to be a $10 patron.
And if you donate $500 to us, we'll get high and talk about it. Just kidding. $1,000?
I was like, I don't know if I consented to that.
I will. Another way you can support us is by following us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod, as well as rating and reviewing us wherever you listen, Spotify, iTunes. Apple Podcasts, I mean. No one uses iTunes anymore. Does iTunes even exist?
Dude, I don't know.
Do you remember how, like, making playlists? First of all, like, making playlists when we would burn CDs was, like, really important. But, like, making playlists then in college, especially age, I feel like on iTunes was also, like, such a task.
Also remember, like, getting, like, iTunes gift cards on, like, Christmas. And then, like, being like, do I, like, just buy this one song off this album, or, like, do I buy the whole album on iTunes?
Yeah. Okay, here's a fun question. What's the most embarrassing thing you've bought with an iTunes credit? Because I know my answer so distinctly.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. Like, I can't think of one where I'm like, that was really embarrassing. I don't know. What's yours?
Do you remember that show? I think it was on MTV. God, what was his name? Ryan something? He was like a skater.
Oh, yeah, like yeah.
What was that called? I bought an episode of that.
Oh, you bought an episode of something.
Yeah, bought episodes of Lost, too. So, like, somewhere out there, if I could find my old iPod, the ones that, like, had video. Remember, like, the like, probably, like, not an iPod Touch. It was, like, before that. Like, the screen was only half of the iPod. Yeah, I definitely, like, had an episode of that. And then I had two episodes of Lost. I think I might have had a Grey's Anatomy episode. And whenever I was on an airplane, I would, like, watch. That's all I could. You know what I mean? That's, like, I would just watch those over and over again.
Yeah, dude. And iPods. They're, like, is They're there
done.
A way?
They don't make them anymore.
Well, is there a way I still have an iPod with, like, music that I could not. Like, I have, like, choir music, like, from my own choir.
Yeah, you can get it off of there.
Like, how do I put it on my computer?
You need the cord that connects it to your computer, and then it's you can get it off of your iPod if your iPod turns on. I think the problem with mine is they don't turn on anymore.
I think you're right, because I do, yeah, because I still have, like, a thing, wow, where you can, like, play, you know, where your iPod would connect
to it
and charge
in.
It?
Yeah,
I still, it will still play
An
off of
iHome.
That because... Yes, while it is, like, charging, but it won't turn on even if I, like, charge it. It has to be, like, plugged into a power source to play.
I don't know what I did with it. I had my college computer somewhere, like, my first Mac that's, like, white. You know what I mean? And it's really
Oh, I had
huge.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't remember throwing it away, but I have no idea where it is. But if I could get that to work, I could, like, all my music is on there. You know what I mean? Like, cause it would store it on a computer.
I'm a computer.
It's just like, this just makes me so badly want to finish Grey's Anatomy and podcast about Pen 15.
Yeah, I know. We're getting there. We also forgot to say something. We got sidetracked. One of the other things you can do if you're a patron is you can call in and you can do giving a second opinion It's a new thing we started. You would send an audio message to theoncallroom@gmail.com. We're so grateful for the people who have sent messages in. We just ask that if you can keep them below, what do we, like 2 minutes?
2 minutes, yeah, would be great.
Yeah, just because we want to be able to share those on the podcast. And we have, you know, we have to talk about iPods, let's be real. So,
yeah, the real buzzing information, iPods.
Yeah. So, but if you have thoughts about a previous episode or, you know, even in the current season or, you know,
or something iPods. Or iPods,
if you want to talk to us about an iPod, please call in and we would love to put that on the podcast.
Yes.
any other like updates? I mean, like,
I'm trying to think. I was going to ask how your day is going.
Oh, like, fine. I'm watching my sister's dog right now, and he is so sweet. So if anyone hears like a panting in the background, he's very chill next to me right now. But he's a golden doodle. So imagine a Muppet.
He does look like a Muppet.
He is just Muppeting around my house. And it's so funny because like the first night we had him, obviously he's really anxious. And so we have Marge upstairs and then we have like these kind of slider doors that close on our stairs. So she gets upstairs and Bear gets the downstairs. And John and I, like, we put him in his kennel, but he doesn't sleep in his kennel anymore. And so like middle of the night, he's howling downstairs. And Marge is banging and shaking the stair doors. And like John and I were like, it is a fucking circus in here. And so I go downstairs. I let him out, but he's super anxious. So Saturday night, I slept on the couch downstairs. And like, so he could like lay by me because he can't go upstairs because of the cat.
Right.
And then this morning, John went to work. He was howling. He was not in the kennel. Pretty much, long story short, he went outside, went to the bathroom. I took him for like a 40-minute walk. And at the end of it, Abby knows this, I called her. He got diarrhea. And then he came inside and vomited. Everything's fine. He's not sick. I think he was just anxious. But I was like, I am not a dog person. Like, what does this mean?
Yes.
And yeah. And you were very helpful. But I had this feeling of like, especially the night that he was howling and Marge was shaking the door and she was screaming for food. I was like, we cannot have children. Literally, I feel like all we've been talking about too, like John, you know, like texting, like how's Bear doing? Like he gets home, like how has he been? I'm like, we, like this is like our child, even though it's my sister's dog. And I'm like, this is how parents have nothing to talk about with their children, because
yeah, they just, what's happening.
It's what's happening. And it's also pure chaos. And your life revolves around diarrhea. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think McCoy comes up in conversation with anyone I talk to at least once a day. Like,
oh yeah,
he's just there doing things and being a dog. And so yeah, it's wild. I do think though, like, I bet it would like get more chill if it was your own. It's kind of like you're babysitting someone else's baby right now, which yeah, is way more stressful, I would imagine. Who knows? I don't have any. But yeah, so I don't know. I feel like I wasn't much help though, because all I said was, oh yeah, dogs puke and shit a lot. Like, you're fine.
Well, but that, like just, honestly, that helped. I was like, okay, so he's not like, I don't need to go to like the hospital, the dog hospital.
No, spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like he has literally been fine. But I did tell John, because then I was like, should we get a dog? And he was like, no. And I was like, but I decided if we do, I want a cockapoo, which is a cocker spaniel and a poodle. Because I really want a cocker spaniel, but John says they shed too much. And I'm like, so we get a cockapoo and then you get the poodle in there and then they don't shed. And you should Google what they look like, because they're so fucking cute.
How do you not fucking laugh at the idea of saying, oh, what kind of dog do you have? A cockapoo?
Well, that's what John said. He said, John was like, we cannot get a cockapoo for that very reason. He was like, we cannot tell people. He's like, we cannot tell people we own a cockapoo. Like, that's ridiculous.
They're like small bears, like what you have.
Yeah, they're so cute. And
yeah, they are cute. I do want a small, like, McCoy. This will be contention for Jake and I someday. If we get a second one, well, it won't be a second one. When we get another dog someday, I would like him to be smaller than McCoy, just a tad. Because I would like to be able to pick him up. I still can pick up McCoy, but
Yeah.
It would be
no.
more fun if he was more easily to pick up.
No, I get it. The one thing, and I don't want to hear it, listeners. I know, adopt, don't shop, because cockapoos are like designer dogs.
Designer
and they're very expensive. And like, I get it. That's not good to do. That is the point, that we probably won't get a dog because I want a designer dog.
Maybe you'll find one.
Maybe. Like, I would adopt a cockapoo, or I mean, just
set,
bear.
A kismet. Set like an alarm on a... Or, yeah. You know, search whatever on whatever those apps are for a dog that they think might be one.
Yeah, that's true, because Bear is a golden doodle and he was adopted. Like, he was a rescue.
Yeah, so there you go. Something embarrassing that I just realized, this has nothing to do with dogs or cockapoos. So on Be Real, which I don't see your Be Real yet. I don't think you've done it today.
Oh, should I do it right now? Keep going.
Sure. But I forgot that I hit yes to a thing that like connects to my Spotify. And it shows on my Be Real that I was listening to, yes, Michelle Branch Breathe at the time what? Of my Be Real.
Dude, you are obsessed with Michelle Branch.
Okay. I often listen to my on repeat Spotify playlist and I have like, she's on there. But I'm glad like the next song that could have come up was Stolen by Dashboard Confessional. So I'm at least glad that it looks like I have some like alternative. I'm just mostly listening to 90s music. But
I swear to God, Michelle Branch has like come up so many times on this podcast.
She's so good.
I'm like, are you unwell that you're always listening to
Michelle Branch? No, what was I listening to the other day that I was like, Brie, am I not okay? What was I listening to? I can't even remember. I texted you and I was like, am I okay? Oh, I was listening to The Fray, How to Save a Life.
Very, very applicable to this podcast.
Yeah, which honestly, that song is so good.
I think it's overrated.
How to Save. I was listening to another song by them too, not just that one. I feel like it was like another song, but no.
At least you weren't listening to Chasing Cars.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing that we should hit on really quickly, and a spoiler alert, although it shouldn't be too bad, but I won't give anything away, but Brie and I have been watching Yellow Jackets.
Oh God. Yeah.
But we're in, I just finished season one. Brie's in episode 6 of season one.
Yep. How many episodes are there?
10.
Okay. Okay.
So I was on episode 6 before Sunday, and then Sunday we watched 4.
Yeah.
Like, you're not far away from finishing it. What? Okay. Honestly, though, I don't know if I'm a dark human being, but I fucking love dark shows like that. Like, creepy. It hits everything I like.
Yeah, it is really creepy. Our friend Reva was like, I honestly, like, I can't watch it at night. And I was like, and I did stop it. I was watching it during the afternoon. But it is a very fucked up show. But like, but I'm not that affected by it.
The dynamic of teenage girls surviving on an island is also like, I mean, anything to do with like, I feel like girl culture is not the right word. But do you know what I mean? Like, just like
dynamics.
Yes. Especially high school age is so fascinating to me. So that aspect of it, I really love. I also love a show that like keeps me wondering. And every episode, there's more questions. Like, I have more questions about what happened there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Again, spoiler, skip ahead. I'm going to say skip ahead 5 minutes. I don't know okay. how long this is going to go. But like, is it paranormal?
It's like kind of paranormal. It's definitely gory.
Like, yeah, like I'm having a hard time, like, okay, that episode where they like go into the attic and then like that one girl freaks out and starts speaking French.
Lottie. Yeah.
Lottie. Like,
dude,
she's like
possessed.
Yeah. I'm like, is she possessed? But then I'm like, so
she has visions.
Yeah. So there's like a like energy on this island.
Yeah. It kind of gives me Lost vibes.
That's what I was about to say. It's kind of like Lost, like. Yeah, also that character Misty is fucked up, man. She is not well.
She is such a good character. Like,
such a good villain.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Christina Ricci is crushing it in the adult version. But like, what I can't figure out is like, in the present day, do they know that Misty broke the black box? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
And what I want to know is if that ever comes out, because that when she did that, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. The worst kind of villain.
Yeah. And it was all because, well, I don't know if it was all, but she hears them being like, thank God we have her. Yeah. And I was like, this is, well, and I think she, I mean, she's a nurse, like she's like taking care of the coach. Like she has a weird complex of some sort.
She's an unhealthy Enneagram 2.
Oh God, am I Misty? Jesus Christ.
No, you're not. But yeah, I don't know. I love the show. I'm highly recommend it. Melanie, how do I say? She's the one who plays Shauna in the older. I really love her.
Oh, yeah. What is her
name? She's in, Melanie Lynskey. She's in Sweet Home Alabama. She's been in a billion things. She was also just in The Last of Us. She's actually like from New Zealand or Australia. Her accent is bonkers, which you would never suspect because she's so good at.
She's also in Togetherness. Did you ever watch that on HBO? It didn't run for that long. It was 2 seasons.
No, I never did.
And it was the Duplass. It was Mark Duplass. Uh-huh. And it's really good. It was like one of my favorite shows. So it was like 2015 to 16, I think. Okay. So if you ever like want to go, sometimes it sucks because you're like, I don't know, this thing is passed on HBO. I feel like I can't watch it. But it's really funny and it would not take you long to get through it because it's only 2 seasons. So I would recommend that. She's in it.
Perfect. I will. Anyways, as much as I'd like to talk about other shows, we should probably get into season 18.
The last thing I will say is I did not realize that Misty was Christina Ricci until you said that.
Isn't that crazy? They do such a good job with her hair and makeup.
Yeah, really good job.
I can't figure out. I texted you this last night. Her character almost feels like a character Reese Witherspoon could play. Like her positive, you know what I mean? The way that she has this voice, like Reese Witherspoon has never really played like a straight up villain. But like, I feel like that way she's like positive, just her accent, something about it is making me, I could be wrong. Maybe it's not Reese Witherspoon. It's making me think of someone else and I can't pinpoint who that is.
Yeah. Also, Juliette Lewis is incredible in it.
Okay, I was beating myself up over the head. Like, I was like, what do I know her from? I was just like, what? Like, her voice, everything. Like, she's played a character with this same vibe, and I couldn't figure it out. And it's because I wasn't scrolling far enough back in IMDb to remember that she's in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. She's the daughter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what's eating Gilbert Grape? Because John said the same thing. He's like, what is she in? And I said that. He's never seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which blew my mind. But I bet it was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Tell him that because she's very much in that movie, you know, like, oh, dad. Like, she's so like, and I just could not figure it out. And her hair was throwing me off. And it's because her hair is blonde in that movie. In National Lampoon's. Also, the casting for like the young versus old characters is incredible. Young Natalie sounds just like Juliette Lewis. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is wild. So everyone go watch that. We're going to do I would never do a podcast on it. Seems like too smart of a show for me to be able to podcast about.
I was just
going to
say, I would miss a lot.
Yeah, not smart enough to do that. So we're going to stick with Grey's Anatomy, season 18.
Amazing. Let's dive in a little bit. We're watching 16, 17, and 18. Should I stay or should I go? I'll cover you. Wow, that made me want to sing Rent. Like, I'll cover you. Stronger than hate. I'll start with the monologue. In 2019, the World Health Organization officially recognized burnout in its international classification of the diseases. Studies show that doctors who report signs of burnout have enlarged amygdalas, the area in the brain that regulates fear and aggression. But burnout isn't an academic exercise. It's an all-consuming systemic condition. It's your entire body sending you one clear message. Something has to change, and it has to change now. Put simply, burnout comes from a deep imbalance. Too much stress with too few rewards. You're exhausted, depleted, you no longer have patience, pleasure, or serotonin. This is the end, unless you turn it into something else and find your path to recovery. Pick the pieces you want from your life and find a new way forward. Meredith Grey.
In the last decade, researchers have discovered that humans have at least 6 senses. The sixth sense. This new sense is called proprioception?
Sure.
Great. It refers to how your brain understands where your body is in space. That's really interesting. The mind-body connection to people and to your environment. Some will argue that it's experience that helps a parent see that their child's stomach ache is more than the flu, or that it's experience when a surgeon knows to look further during a routine lap appy to diagnose a larger problem. It's not an experience. It's a feeling, instinct. It's our brains being innately connected to our bodies. The hard part is trusting what our bodies are saying and hoping like hell we might get it right. Meredith Gray.
Our bodies play host to trillions of bacteria and other microbes. They live on our skin, in our guts, up our noses. Microbes are found in almost every part of the body. Microbes help us produce vitamins and stimulate our immune system. They break down food and perform many other functions that we need to survive. Microbes may sound like uninvited guests, but mostly live harmoniously in and on our bodies. We need a diverse set of microbes working together to stay healthy. They're an essential part of our system. It turns out they're right where they belong. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We have Colin Renfield, traumatic amputation.
Diana Cortez, syncope.
Tova Friedman, pregnancy and thrombose veins.
Simon Clark, lung mets, Liam Met.
Margot Talbert, ruptured abdominal aortic aneurysm.
Kristen Clark, pregnancy.
Catherine Fox, chondrosarcoma.
Alice Tom, facial trauma, comminuted midshaft humerus fracture, splenic rupture.
And Simon Clark, synovial sarcoma.
All right. Round number one, Addison comes back to see her patient, Tova, who is 11 weeks pregnant. Unfortunately, after a complication while trying to clear blood clots that are surrounding the uterus, they lose the baby and have to perform a DNC. After surgery, when Tova hears the news, Levi leads her in the mourner's kaddish.
Wendell is presenting his heart monitor medical supply to Richard and other doctors, and Maggie offers to try and figure out if it's something that maybe they may be interested in purchasing. While testing it, they realize that none of the devices work. It turns out that Wendell saw an online presentation about these devices and took out a $10,000 loan to buy them without knowing much about them. Winston is upset that he was right, and Wendell is upset that he gave everything he has. Wendell continues to lie to Maggie, and Winston continues to withdraw because he is upset. The two of them end up fighting over a patient.
Richard, Catherine, and Bailey are incredibly upset at Meredith for leaving Grace Sloan. They talk to her about loyalty, honor, and they believe she is being selfish. Nick shows up on Meredith's doorstep after a particularly bad day and offers to stay in Seattle long enough for Meredith to save the program. He says he will work part-time and use vacation so that they can be together and not have to be so far away from each other. On Nick's first day at Grace Sloan, he has to take over all of Meredith's cases because she is dealing with Richard, who accidentally got stoned. Bailey was really hard on Nick until she saw how great of a teacher he was to Schmidt during a difficult surgery. Bailey is also having a hard time and feels that because she is the first female chief after a string of messy men, she feels an intense amount of pressure to do better.
Teddy and Owen's child, Leo, comes into their work wearing a cowgirl costume and tells his parents that he is a girl. Teddy immediately corrects him, and Owen tells her that maybe she shouldn't do that. They end up having a conversation where Owen encourages Teddy that it's not that big of a problem and they need to follow Leo's lead and not be their child's first bully. Ultimately, they decide to go to therapy, but not for Leo, for themselves.
Joe is still dating Todd and invites Link out to dinner with the two of them so that they could help her make a decision about Bailey's demand to come back and be an attending. Todd tells her to try doing both for a little bit. So for now, she is acting as an OB resident and a general attending. Joe has been asking Link to help babysit Luna, and he finally snaps back at her, saying that she used him for sex, and now she is using him to watch her kid. Joe snaps back and tells him that the reason she had him move out was because she fell in love with him and she couldn't risk losing him as a friend. They argue over this, as well as the treatment of one of Link's patients. They found another met inside Simon's lung and have now told him that he only has 2 months to live. However, his wife is pregnant and not due for 2 months. Link wants to get a second opinion to help her to get a C-section so he can meet his kid, and Joe thinks it's unsafe.
Episode 18 involves the story of a patient named Alice who was the victim of a hate crime. She was riding the bus and when someone assaulted her and she suffered major injuries. The outbreak of COVID-19 in January 2020 fueled widespread fear, along with the rapid spread of misinformation. Throughout the pandemic, bad faith actors turned to social media and used counterfeit documents from health organizations to drum up unwarranted anxiety and paranoia with tragic results. For more than a year and continuing now, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders suffered from physical and verbal attacks, causing them to feel unsafe and unwelcome in public spaces. AAPI businesses have also been targeted. As of August 2021, more than 9,000 anti-Asian incidents have been reported since the beginning of the pandemic. Nico, Dr. Lin, and Boki operate on Alice while Mabel watches from the gallery despite surgical complications. Alice makes it out of surgery alive. And so all of that info above that didn't have to do with Grey's Anatomy, we received that from AAPI hatecrimes.org/facts. We just wanted to
let you know.
let you know.
Meredith is supposed to be hosting a welcome party for Nick, but she gets called into a case and stays at the hospital. During the dinner party, everyone questions Nick as they try to vet and see if he is good enough for Meredith. Scout was having a fussy time, so Kai and Owen get stuck on kid duty playing hide and go seek and playing with trains. Owen asks Kai if they want any kids, and Kai says no. Wendell shows up to the party and Winston yells at him and says he is putting them in danger because if people are looking for him to pay them back, now they know where he is. We find out that Winston also gave Wendell money and now he's gone. After Scout goes to bed, Amelia finds Kai and Kai tells Amelia that they do not want kids now or ever. The party ends with Nick and Amelia talking in the yard and Amelia asking for Nick to promise that he will give Meredith a life of joy and love. When Meredith finally shows up at the end of the night, Nick has dinner made for her and they tell each other they love each other.
Catherine's cancer is back and she spends time with Simon during her chemotherapy treatments. Richard tells Catherine that he doesn't want her to be getting treatment if it's just to appease him, but she reassures him that she still wants to fight.
First notes.
First notes. Bailey is getting herself a smoothie because she can't bring herself to go into the depressing building.
I hate how right after the smoothie scene, this was my first note, like Catherine's like, Bailey, now in your office. Like Catherine can be so demeaning sometimes. You know what I mean?
And demanding. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Like because I know she's like, I guess the owner of the fucking hospital. She like, I don't know. Like to me, Bailey and her are equals and like she just doesn't treat her that way.
No. And I mean, we can kind of talk about, you know, Catherine ends up busting into surgery, too, with Tova.
Which is crazy. That scene is like, I felt like when Addison finally like yelled at everyone, I was like, thank goodness. That was like so uncalled for when Catherine came in there and started yelling at Meredith.
I totally agree. I have a note from that I said, Addison is the only one who acts on this show anymore. Because felt she did a really good job in that scene.
That scene felt, specifically only when she's talking, felt like old Grays in the sense of like just the emotion that Addison brought to that storyline was really important. And maybe let's talk about how everyone reacting to Meredith, because there's some pretty like iconic parts in that.
Yeah.
Everyone is giving her the cold shoulder or just being straight up mean. I really loved when Addison and Meredith are operating together. And I'm trying to find my note on this, but I feel like Meredith is talking to her about like, how come like you got to go away? Like you're not practicing in the same place you did your residency. And I just think that that's where Addison says the thing to her, like, you're actually more than Richard's student. Like, because Meredith says something like about being Richard's student. And she's like, you know, you're so much more than that. Like, that's why he's upset. It's not because you're leaving Grace alone.
Right. Well, and I think like us as viewers are meant to feel that way, too. Right. Like on the one hand, we do feel like, yeah, everyone else got to leave the show, but the show isn't called Grey's Anatomy. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're supposed to be here. At least that's kind of how I felt viewing it, you know, was like, yes, everyone else got to leave, but like, you're the main character and it's all about you. And like, they're writing in of like, you have done so much for this hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just like, I'm trying to see what Catherine says to her. I feel like she says this something like, she says it's about honor. And I was like, whoa, like that is just too far.
Yeah.
I just like the way that she did it was just so horrible. And then it was interesting. Meredith did this last week to Bailey where she says, don't talk to him that way about Nick. And now she says to Kat, you know, don't talk to Addison.
Addison.
She says like the same line essentially.
I loved that's the part where Addison like kind of loses it and it's like, are we going to talk about honor? Like, let's honor the person who just lost a pregnancy. And I totally agree. Catherine was also like, why choose that space to come in and rummage up this argument of like while she's scrubbing out?
The only thing I can. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I was just going to say that I think that like, it kind of shows the growth in Meredith's character because she doesn't just like take it from these people. She's like, no, I get to do what I want.
Not at all. Also, I was just thinking, I wonder if why Catherine is so upset about this is because she knows her cancer is back and she's afraid of leaving Richard alone. Like, oh. I'm sure that maybe that's like a little bit of the underlying, because I'm like, why does Catherine care so much other than the program? She also, so I don't know. It could be either or. I could be way giving her the benefit of the doubt. But
no, that's a really good point.
I just thought of that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that, but I think you're right.
I also think she's selfish sometimes, so she doesn't want her program to go down.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But also, like, when tying in the storyline with Addison being like, you're so much more to Richard than a student, like, those things would tie together with Catherine being upset. Like, as viewers, we're trying to see, like, she is more to all of these people than just another surgeon.
For sure. It's interesting too, the conversation Addison has with Richard about, like, he's like, in the good old days. It's very much like that conversation we hear a lot in culture right now of, you know, older people saying, like, things were so much better. Like, sometimes romanticizing the past is like, we forget actually how hard things were. And Addison sort of saying him to, like, I don't remember that. I remember pain and loss and, like, it being about, like, you couldn't complain. Like, that was the culture. Like, you couldn't complain. And she's kind of saying, like, there needs to be a new way and you need to come up with what that is, which is what I think is, like, sort of happening everywhere right now in life.
Yeah. I liked that conversation. Yeah. Where she tells Richard, you have to stop reminiscing and looking towards the future of the new way to train surgeons. And he kind of hits back of, like, well, I tried that. And she's like, whatever.
Try again.
Like, try again, you know? Yeah, I liked Addison in this episode.
Yeah, I did too. And then I just want to hit on what I thought was really maybe the first time we've seen Ellen act in a while was when Nick is there at the end of the day.
Yes.
And I remember liking this monologue because it feels so much also like Ellen saying this about her castmates. Like, you can interpret this so many ways. I didn't write the whole thing down because she was talking really fast, but she says, I've earned the right to leave. Other people from my class left. I stayed. I worked. I won awards for that place. I did everything that was expected of me and then some. And if I want to leave, it's considered disloyal. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And you know what else it is? It's my decision. And I've made my decision. This is all very patronizing.
Yeah, really good speech. The one thing I didn't like about it was how quickly she got over being mad at Nick.
Like, same. I was like, yeah, even though, like, I know he definitely should have led with what he was saying, it like got resolved way too fast.
Yeah. But yeah, she's saying that she has the right to leave and, like, kind of like, don't show up at my doorstep and, like, tell me otherwise. Like, you don't know me. You don't know me.
Yeah.
And
it's so crazy, though, that sentence to me is so much like what, like, Ellen, like, people saying that it's disloyal if I leave. I stayed, I worked, I won awards, I did everything that was expected of me, and then some, blah, blah, blah. It feels like, I'm like, did she write that?
She might have.
You know, like, it really feels like it.
She, like, put it in a letter to Shonda Rhimes, and they're like, okay, well, we'll just put this in the episode. Because
yeah, exactly. Literally, yes, because it feels like, it would be frustrating that, like, everyone is fine if everyone else leaves, but when it's her time to leave, people are upset about it, you know?
I also think, I mean, if we're going to talk about that briefly, I think it's fine that she wanted to leave. I think they should have ended the show then. Like, because, again, it's like, it's about her, or it was supposed to be about her. Now it's not anymore.
Doesn't watching this episode make you think, like, wow, season 18, they should have ended it before season 18, but, like, they were kind of setting it up for to be done. And then they just weren't. Okay. Also, I want to make sure I say this. I've not been on the Nick train, you know, and I'm still not, except for the season at the episode at the very end, the third one we watched, when Meredith stays for the surgery on Alice, which is obviously a very emotionally hard surgery. Mm-hmm. And she updates the family when she gets home. The way that she hugs Nick and, like, then cries to me is, like, it was really beautiful. I feel like that's, like, when you feel really safe with someone, you know, you can, like, kind of let yourself feel your feelings. And I did like that moment a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was, what's weird to me is they've said, I love you. But to me, I felt this way the last time I watched this season, is that I felt like this was the first time they were saying they loved each other.
Is it the first time Mare said it back?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe.
I think it is.
Because it feels like a really big moment when she says, I love you to him.
Yeah. I think he has said it before and she didn't say anything. And this time she said it first.
Gotcha. Okay. That's why
it's still like not the most believable relationship to me. Like I really just don't feel chemistry with them. Like I do when I watch old episodes of, you know, Meredith and Derek, I don't feel that at all, but I liked that moment of her crying. Like it felt like that was a good react. Like that's how I would have come home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also you want like a partner who can like be around your people and not need you to be there.
Oh yeah. That was great too. He really crushed the dinner party.
Yeah, he was, you know, helping out and he was chatting with all the people. And I think that's to show us like, yeah, he's a good fit. He gets along. He can get by on his own. So
I loved him and Bailey bonding over Scrabble scores, like how to get the highest points.
I also loved Teddy at that dinner party being like, Boggle, anyone want to play Boggle? And everyone's and like, no, Teddy, no.
I didn't love Teddy, you know, and making out in the car, even though I know it was like the same thing, you know, Bailey seeing Derek and Mare making out in the car, like they were making that like tie in. Which was like cute little fan service. But I don't know, something about Owen still bothers me.
Yeah, he always will. Always will.
Okay. Other really quick before we get off the Addison thing too, I just wanted to mention yet again, Levi is jumping up in ranks for me of my favorite character, him offering to do the mourner's Kaddish. Is that how you say
Kaddish?
It?
Yeah.
Was so beautiful. So beautiful. I again think that like, I mean, Christina, one of her parents was Jewish, if I believe, because remember, but I don't know if she was practicing. You know, and I really enjoy them like showing this and what we've heard. I've heard people say that it seems very accurate too, like when they have the bar mitzvah, which is that in the season 19? I'm getting confused.
Yes.
I think that was
it. Yes.
Yeah. But that it was like very accurate and really portrayed in a good way. And I'm really glad that they've been doing that representation. And Levi doing that was so, I got goosebumps a little bit.
Yeah, I got, so there were two, in these three episodes, there were two moments that I got emotional. And I actually teared up when, and this is one of them, with Levi saying the mourner's Kaddish. I was like, that is, and the way he, when he finished it, and she's just weeping for her loss, and he just like, it zooms out to like, people on the outside looking in, and he's just sitting there holding her hand. I'm like, that's a really good doctor, just being by her side. So, yeah, I thought that was a
also there's a lot about Jewish traditions that feel comforting.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the way that like I grew up Catholic and those don't feel comforting to me sometimes. But like that seems someone reciting something to me feels really comforting. Yeah, I don't know. Just the way I don't know. I just really enjoyed it a lot. What was the second time you felt goosebumps or you got teary?
The second time is when Boki spoke. And said, these are like the face. This is an American face. Like we are faces, like American faces. I cried.
Yeah. The song, there was like a great song choice. Just the way that they handled the severity and the sincerity of that moment. It also, the only thing that I would say frustrates me is like, I wish Boki would talk more. Like,
I know.
I feel like if like, I'm really excited for this representation, but like I would, why doesn't Boki talk more? She's been on the show for longer than Ellen Pompeo has now. You know what I mean?
I think it's like the shtick of it all, you know? Is that the word I'm looking for?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But yeah, that's maybe what also though made it incredibly powerful.
Yes. And like Boki and Mare like exchange a look.
Ugh, I know.
Before, and I just like Boki 1,000 out of a gajillion or a gajillion out of 1,000, whatever. I don't know. She's like the best. And she said, what is the other thing she's said before?
It was at the dinner party. She said something. I can't remember who she said it to.
Yeah.
But it was at the dinner party. It was at the episode when Alex's mom, when there's a fire, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah. I think you're right.
I think so. I like that Meredith stayed to update the family. She wasn't doing the surgery, but she like stayed in support of everyone. That felt very Meredith-like.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So I can tell you what storyline is I just wish didn't exist. And that's
Wait, let me guess.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I said it too soon. Is that what you were going to guess?
No, I was going to guess Joe and Todd because I just don't give a shit about that.
Oh, yeah. I don't give a shit about that either anymore. I the Link and Joe, I'm fine. That's like fun and entertaining. But yeah, Todd is the vet.
Todd is a weak link in the storyline. We do not need him anymore. Yeah, the Wendell thing too. Like, just kind of over it. It's just like
making Winston mad.
Yeah, and I also like kind of feel like this doesn't really come up again. Or like, I don't know, you know, it just feels like one of those storylines that it's like, this isn't a through line of like a bigger deal.
He's
just
not at their wedding. I just realized also.
He's not.
Yeah, I guess like she didn't even know. I guess he didn't tell her about it. He just, I don't need this storyline. I just don't need it. It's causing, I hate that Maggie and Winston are never going to be happy again.
Yeah, I feel like they really don't ever get happy again, do they?
No, not at all. So no, this is like the first time she asked, like, who am I married to? You know what I mean? Like, she's like, he's unrecognizable in the way he's acting and makes her ask that. So I don't even have a lot. I'm not even going to talk on it, really. I don't have a lot to say about it.
Well, I think we'll probably have more to say about it in our bonus episode about Maggie and Winston.
Yes.
So if you want to hear that, that's coming out. $5 paper.
Yeah.
$5 foot longs.
$5 foot. Oh, God. They used to be so cheap.
I know. Not anymore. It's like $18 to go to Subway and get a foot
long. We just
got
Jets tonight, and the pizza alone was $23.
Don't doubt it. You know, inflation.
Okay. I love the Leo storyline so much. I also think I'm glad. Like, I think it's, first of all, you know, all of us were shocked that it's Owen with that mindset and not the other way around. But I think it's great that they're showing like both aspects, like worry. Just, I think it's very realistic, I should say. I loved when Owen said, A, like, let Leo take the lead, and B, the part about we're going to go to therapy, but not for Leo because we need it. Like, we need help. Like, Leo is fine. I thought that was beautiful. And I don't know. I just enjoy this little, again, normally I hate all the kids' storylines. This one I feel is a nice touch.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing that I guess the thing that I really like about the storyline too is it's not like too opposing in the way of like, Leo can't do this is not what Teddy's saying. Mm-hmm. She's just really, I think, concerned about what other people would think, what like Leo's safety would be. Like, there are a lot of like what it looks like for them. Like,
she's afraid of doing it wrong.
Yeah. And I think that's a really like honest feeling, you know? Yeah. And so it's nice to, I guess it's nice to see that it's not like Owen being like, our child, like, we'll take the lead, and Teddy be like, this isn't okay. Because I would, not that that doesn't happen either, but I just like that they're like on the same page in a way, but like, she's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And and it shows like, we'll go get help for that, because
there are moments where I'm like, I guess Owen did go to therapy, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
It only appears slowly.
Well, and I love too, in like the therapy, like Teddy is asking like, should, like, what if he says like he's a girl, but then like he changes his mind 2 months later, and the therapist is like, then he changes his mind. Like,
right. Owen's like, then we tell everyone he's a girl again. Like, I love that. I love that mindset that I think, sometimes I think we all make things way more difficult than it is. And I appreciate that conversation, and that it's like not just one episode. It feels like now it's been on a couple of episodes. So it's not like they're just throwing it away.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to talk about Link and Joe? What are your thoughts?
Confusing, right?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting her to tell her feelings. I like forgot.
I wasn't either. Because now I don't remember. Because like now I don't remember how they like get in a fight and then her be like, I need my friend back. Is it because she said I love you and he gets weird about it?
Do they get more in a fight? I think they just had the fight.
Well, did I miss something?
Did you watch the episode when they're in the supply closet and she says she loves him and yeah. he says he feels used? Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think they're not fighting when that ends.
Okay. Yeah. I guess what I meant is like, so at how they get out of that is she's like, I want my friend back. Right. Like, it's not right. worth it. Okay. Yeah.
But I think they're still disagreeing about what happens with Simon. And I know that that storyline, I do you remember how that ends? Cause I,
oh yeah. Cause it's very emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that continues on until maybe the finale. Maybe there's like a moment.
Okay.
But I think Link was just like taken off guard. I did like, I don't know why I giggled when Link was like, you used me for sex. I don't know. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but, and now I'm a babysitter. I just, something about it made me giggle.
I also love the part where they're at the dinner party and he's asking Teddy what he should do. And Teddy's like, should you tell her that you maybe occasionally have small feelings for her? No, you should not do that.
Right, exactly. She's like, get your shit together. Which I yeah. guess it's good that he's being honest. And that's why he doesn't say anything to her back yet. Because like initially he doesn't feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
Clearly it's going to get there. I think I'm hoping in the finale of season 19, we get some sort of candle house moment, but not that, you know what I mean? I would like this season 19 finale to feel like the season 4 finale.
Oh yeah, like a house candles.
Yeah, like where there's some tragic for. There's some tragic stuff, but there's like also a hopeful moment. That is my favorite finale. I think I might watch it tonight.
Yes, sorry, I'm trying to tell my dog to lay down. He's being such a butt.
Yeah, dude. It's
dude, hard this to is why this is dog. Why you don't have dogs. He just keeps pacing around the table and then laying down and getting back up. Is this what dogs do? It's like
yeah. Cats also, do I can't not hear do this. It. I can't hear it, so don't worry.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just more personally annoyed because he like won't let me like not pet him. I'm like, oh, I'm yeah. trying.
The amount of times that I yell, do my go job. Lay down. Yeah. Go lay down. You should just get a Kong and put some stuff in it. Freeze. He doesn't, I put peanut butter and I freeze it and that occupies him for like an hour. And then he's
he has a lick pad, but he had diarrhea today. So they said maybe don't give him his lick pad today.
When you do the lick pad, freeze it. It takes way longer for them to lick it.
But also his lick pad is gross and I don't want to put it in my freezer.
Okay, that's a you problem then. I can't help you. Fine. Let's talk about Kai and Amelia.
Yeah. So, okay. So we got the story. We got the story, Morning Glory. Kai telling Amelia at their apartment that they don't want kids. But like, yeah. I think it was kind of like, yeah, okay, you don't want kids, but like, you'll still like kind of participate and be around my kid, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's how Amelia interpreted it.
Yeah. And so even when like Link shows up to the party and Amelia like, even when Link comes upstairs and it's like, I can take over. And Amelia's like, no, I got it. I would be really pissed off if I, not pissed off, but just kind of like, this is awkward if I were Kai. Be like,
yeah, it was a horrible, I get that Amelia had to deal with her kid, but like, I did feel incredibly bad for Kai. Also to be then stuck with Owen, her ex-husband.
Yeah. And like doing like, yeah, so I think there, and even with the like Bailey thing where it's like he needed more juice and whatever, and Amelia's like, can you help him? And Kai's like, oh, me? You know, like really putting Kai in a position of like,
yeah,
you can deal with these kiddos. And not saying that adults shouldn't know how to do that, but I think it just really illuminated how many children are in Amelia's life. And Kai was like, I don't really like want to be a part of this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which I don't blame them at all. I did feel heartbroken for Amelia.
Yeah.
Especially because like, I mean, Amelia now wouldn't go back to life without Scout, but it's like timing. You know what I mean? Like if they had met each other before that, like they both had the same mindset. So that mm-hmm. must be like so weird to be in a position where like Amelia completely empathizes with Kai because Amelia understands what that is like, but then is different now, you know,
right.
That would just be, I would feel so mad at the world a little bit.
Yeah. And this, you know, and we'll talk about it more in kind of our Maggie bonus episode, but this like abandonment thing that Amelia has and like this mm-hmm. is happening again to her. Like, someone is leaving her. Like, Meredith is going to end up leaving her, and Kai's mm-hmm. leaving her, and Derek died and her dad died, you know? And so it just makes me really sad because Amelia is so happy and, like, really, like, is, like, the first time in a while that we've seen her, like, really joyful and with Kai.
Yes.
And then there's something that is also really joyful, her being a mom, that, like, it's like
she can't have both.
Yeah, it's like a deal breaker.
Which is annoying that then it resolves, and then now again in season 19 it devolves. Ultimately Kai chooses their career over everything.
Yeah.
And so it's just crushing.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably something that with the person who plays Kai, like, probably not wanting to be on the show.
Jumping ship. It makes me think of I don't know how far you are in the book, the Maybe You Should Talk to Someone.
Oh, I'm like 5 chapters in.
What's with her boyfriend? Are they together?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
I couldn't remember how early that happens. Well, it made me think of that storyline and how, like, you'll kind of learn, this is not a spoiler, but, like, that there were signs that the author had that she ignored, that her boyfriend didn't want kids, because it's like you put on blinders, you know, and then once it gets revealed. And I feel like there have always been signs for, like, from Kai's perspective that they don't want kids and that their career is the most important thing to them. And I feel like Amelia has blinders on.
Yes. Yeah.
Before we switch to something, I just wanted to make sure I mentioned, because I forgot two things. With Amelia says to Teddy, things and people don't need to be constantly defined in order to be loved unconditionally. And I thought that was a great little one-liner. Mm-hmm. And then I also wanted to bring up, because we've already talked about Mayor leaving, is the scene that Meredith has with Richard. I can talk about the Richard part later in post-op, but Meredith says something about ferry boats, whatever. And then she says, the ferry boats might be one of the reasons I need to leave. Seattle is haunted. And I thought that was like, ooh, yeah, getting away from those ferry boats.
Yeah, there's just so much there. And you can tell that she is, both the actress and the character are ready to go and move on with their next thing in life. I don't have any. Do you want to do, like, random notes, or do you have any other big topics to talk about?
No, that's it. I'm just looking at my random notes to make sure I didn't miss anything.
I love, one of the things I loved in the dinner party was when Bailey comes in and Bailey walks by and they fist pump, and Bailey. Like, I thought that was really great.
And Bailey entering and being like, sure, do you want a drink? Okay. Yeah, like, talking to herself, like, because no one answers the door for her and she just has to, like, walk in. I thought that was, like, a very funny moment.
I thought that was really good, too. I don't remember who brings, maybe it's Nick or maybe it's Owen and Teddy. I think it's Owen and Teddy, and they bring wine. And the Maggie said, wine is always welcome. And I thought, yes, that's very much our podcast.
So true.
Wine is always welcome.
So true. I also really, I wanted to bring up Nico and Levi have some elevator moments, which I actually, again, because Levi's climbing the ranks, like, I didn't feel GGBs, but I felt tension kind of. And the part when, I don't have a side in this, but Levi says, when you were in pain, I kept showing up. And Nico says, I guess that's the difference between me and you. But then Levi helps Nico clean up his hand after the surgery. So, did he punch something, I'm assuming?
He punched the wall. It showed over, like, in that. In the on-call room he had. Okay. He was upset.
Yeah. So there's still moments between the two of them. God, do I hate to say it? Is the show gone so downhill that a new character like Levi, who's not even that new, is, like, maybe one of my favorites right now?
No, I think that's fine. I mean, Levi does a great job. But he's also not that new anymore.
I know. George was always a favorite of mine, and they have similar vibes of, like, the underdog, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I just like an underdog.
Yeah, I think that's great. Should we do notes and trivia?
Yeah, there's not much tonight, everyone. We've got this episode's title originating from the song Should I Stay or Should I Go, originally sung by The Clash.
It scored 3.9 million viewers.
Owen tells Link that he has never reattached an arm in his career, yet he took part in an arm transplant in These Arms of Mine. Liar.
This episode's title originated from the song I'll Cover You, originally from the musical Rent.
It scored 3.6 million viewers.
And the third episode was originated from the song Stronger Than Hate, originally sung by Sepultura.
And it scored 3.8 million viewers.
All right. Catherine Fox Award.
Okay. Hang with me here.
Oh, God. Here we go.
What if we give it to Nick? For he's an incredible teacher to Schmidt. I forgot to mention that part in the podcast when he helps Schmidt get over his fear. He fucking takes all of Meredith's cases. He offers to stay in Seattle and use all his vacation days so Mer can help save the program. And then he makes her dinner and they say, I love you. And he
was also really gay.
Party.
Yeah, at the dinner party. Yeah, I feel good about that. That was a really good argument because I was going to say Bokey, but I mean, she can be an honorary
Catherine for sure.
Fox. Okay. Okay. What do you rate this?
I liked this one better than the last few. Still, whatever. I'll give it a 6.5.
Okay. I was going to say 6. So great. We're right on par where you always rate a little bit higher than I do.
Next week is the finale.
Which is so wild. So yeah, next week we're doing 19 and 20. And that's the end of season 18, which is so freaking wild. Then we're on to season 19, which like, then we'll be caught up.
We'll finish that before the next season begins.
Yeah.
We got to figure out our game plan.
Yeah. I don't know what it is yet, listeners. If you have any ideas, send them along. If not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll just end the podcast because Grey's Anatomy should have ended a long time ago. just kidding. We love you all. And we love being here.
I love talking to Bree. So, any way that I can continue to do that would be great. Stick around to post-op. We're going to talk about Maggie. And again, thanks so much for listening. Time of death is 1844.
Beep. Beep.